text today is found in the first epistle of Peter. If you have a Bible, there's some in the pew there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, where the apostle, the great apostle, makes a comparison between faith and gold. And in a sense, I'm handing out to you today, in my hands, as God is handing out in his hands, right? A bunch of gold and fire. Well, we know what to do with the gold, but what do we do with the fire? Well, that's what Peter tells us here. The trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, even though that gold be tried with fire or purified in fire, which it is. So even the purest gold, the most coveted of gold, will perish. But your faith, also in the fire, also on trial, also being tested, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, not all faith in Jesus brings honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus. Only the faith that is put in the fire. Only the faith that is tested. Only the faith that is on trial by fire. God said to his people through Zechariah in Zechariah 13:9, I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, that's in fire, and I will try them or test them as gold is tried, that is in fire. They shall call upon my name and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. To whom does God say, you are my people? Just because we go to church? No. Just because we read the Bible? No. Just because we call ourselves Christians? No. It's those who are refined as silver and gold is refined. He says, I shall call them my people, and they shall call me their God. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, God says to his people Israel again, I have refined you, but not perfectly pure yet as silver is. I have tried and chosen you in the furnace of affliction. You see, God sees our faith, the kind of faith we're supposed to have. He recognizes true faith, great faith, from faith that is weak and failing. It's the strong faith that pleases God. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to Jesus? He had great faith. I wouldn't have that kind of faith. He stepped out of the boat on angry waves and he started walking to Jesus. And then when he saw the wind boisterous and the waves were high, the Bible says he feared, and immediately he began to sink. And Jesus stretched forth his hand quickly and lifted him up. And while they were still on the water, walking back to the boats, Jesus rebuked him and said, O ye of little faith. And then when he got back into the boat, he calmed the sea. And I brought this out to you before. If I was there, I probably would be applauding Peter. Peter, wow, what great faith you had. That was marvelous, Peter. I couldn't do that. None of the other apostles could do that. You were the only one to step out of that boat because you believed that was Jesus. But Jesus did not applaud Peter. He did not pat him on the back. Instead, he rebuked him. Why? Because his faith was failing. He had weak faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Am I not greater than the storm? Am I not greater than the waves? Is not my love for you enough? Can you not trust in me? I would keep you from perishing. And Peter had a lesson there, he learned. When Jesus rebuked him and said, oh, you of little faith, they were still on the waves. And they were walking on the water as it was before. And Peter must have thought, wow, this is what faith, this is the faith I should have. This is the faith that honors Christ. The faith that goes out one day walking on the water and sinks the next is not the faith that pleases my Lord. I have refined you,
as gold and silver is refined in the furnace of affliction. Faith that is tested, faith that is put on trial, faith that faces temptation and overcomes, faith that conquers the storms of life, faith that enables us to resist temptation, that is of more value than gold. Let's go back to 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 5. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. "To an inheritance incorruptible." This is why faith tested, not just faith. Oh, many people have faith. Faith tested. Faith put in the furnace, in the crucible. Faith that is purified, or being purified, to an inheritance incorruptible. That's where that faith leads us. "Undefiled, that fadeth not away, as gold, and the treasures of earth will fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith." What faith? Faith that's untested? No. As Peter says, faith that is tested. Faith is at trial. Faith that is purified. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. If faith is not tested, when you leave this place today, it's easy to have faith in the church, inside church. When you go back to school, or back to the office, or back home, your faith will be tested. We're surrounded by temptation. Every day our faith is tested. And if our faith is not being tested, it ends up to be worthless. Remember that Greek mother, we read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, who had a demon-possessed daughter. She came seeking out Jesus. She said, "Have mercy upon me." There was no peace in her home. There was no joy in her home. The devil was in her home. The Holy Spirit wasn't working in her home. There was no hope. And maybe she tried many other, maybe went to the witch doctor or the local shaman. Maybe she tried some drugs. Nothing could help. And she came to Jesus Christ, crying for mercy, and Jesus tested her. First he was silent. That was a test. She was tempted to complain. Then she ran into his unloving disciples, who said, "Send her away." That was another test of her faith. Then Jesus seemed prejudiced when he said, "I'm only come to help the lost sheep of Israel, not the Gentiles." Again, her faith was tested. And they insulted her and said, "It's not right to take the children's bread, the bread of the Jews, and cast it to dogs." And she passed every one of those tests. He did not once offer her a handful of gold. "Here, woman, take this gold. Go home with this wagon full of gold." Her daughter would be the same. The house would still be dark and bleak and frightening. There would still be no joy in her home. Even though the gold brings joy to many people, it would not bring joy to this mother. He did not offer her gold. Instead, he tested her faith by fire. Charles Spurgeon said, "Thou can not be certain that it is worth having, that is faith, till it has been fitly tested and brought to the touchstone of trial. It must also be tested to prove its strength." See, we think our faith is so strong until the test comes, until the tempter comes with a temptation we have never known before. We think our faith is strong. We don't know how weak it is until we're tested. Indeed, our faith is very weak when we think it's strong. And how are we to know whether it be weak or strong till it be tried? A man that should lie in bed week after week and perhaps get the idle whim into his head that he was very strong would be pretty certain to be mistaken. It is only when he sets about work requiring muscular strength that he will discover how strong or how weak he is. God would not have us form a wrong estimate of ourselves. And we're very good at that. We're very good at patting ourselves on the back. I'm sure if Jesus did not rebuke Peter, Peter would have gotten to the boat and patted himself on the back and said, John, I did what you couldn't do. I was the only one who stepped out. Wow, I have great faith. Jesus wouldn't let him. In fact, Peter didn't say that. And I don't even think Peter thought that after Jesus said, why is it you have so little faith? God loves not that we should say that we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing when we are the reverse. And therefore he sends to us the trial of our faith that we may understand how strong or how weak it is. God already knows, we don't. And so the trial reveals to us just how firm and strong our faith is. But you say everyone's faith is tested. Every Christian's faith is tested. Yes, but not all pass test. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to show you from Scripture where there are those who had faith but were not passing the test. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Their faith is being tested. Your faith, my faith, is being tested by all the plethora of false teachers that abound today and their lies that they teach. The faith will be tested by seducing spirits, those who say it's okay to live in sin. Those who say God wants you to be rich. God wants you to set your heart on money. There are many false teachers today in the world. And that faith will fail. That faith that is seduced is failing faith, and it doesn't please God. You might think because you're a Christian you can't be seduced by false teaching. But that's not what the Scripture says, for Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in whom dwelt the Holy Spirit. He called them the temples of the living God. He says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. Why should the great apostle fear for those who are in Christ? For those who have the Holy Spirit. Why should he fear for them? But I fear lest by any means, and believe me, the devil will take any means. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you will bear with him very well. In other words, they are easily beguiled. A guy comes preaching another Jesus that we don't preach, and he gives another spirit that we know is not the Holy Spirit, or another gospel. It's a bad word, but he calls it a good word, the good news. You might well bear with him to be ready to accept him. How quickly the Galatians went astray into the teaching of the Judaizers. They departed quickly, falling from grace. God said to Moses, go down because your people have quickly turned aside to worship the golden cow. Yes, we as believers need a faith that is tested and tried. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Paul talks to Timothy about the young widows in his congregation. The younger widows refuse, for that is to give them the aid they need. The older widows, yes, but the younger widows, they can get married, they can work. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, but for the wrong reasons. Okay. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now, we've all heard of fake news, right? And we're glad that fake news is being exposed. CNN, CBS, NBC, other stations are telling lies, promoting fake news. This is not fake faith that Apostle Paul is talking about. If it was, he would rejoice that they cast off their fake faith. But no, he's concerned. He feared for the Corinthians that their genuine faith would be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith, real faith, genuine faith, for a secondary faith, an inferior faith that walks on the water one day and sinks the next, that has ears for the truth and ears for lies. That's weak faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattletales and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. These young widows, these young women, instead of devoting their life to service to God for the church of Jesus Christ, they were tempted to live idle, useless lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see for some where gold is more precious than a faith tested by fire. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith, not fake faith. The Apostle Paul is saying they've erred from the real faith. If they've erred from fake faith, he'd be applauding this. He'd be rejoicing. Oh, they've erred from the fake faith. No, they've erred from true faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draw back, or anyone even looking back, as Lot's wife did, my soul shall have no pleasure. Remember, Jesus said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back becomes unfit for the kingdom of God. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. If any man draw back, if anyone look back, we shall live by faith. Real faith, a faith that is tested in the fire, is so tested so it keeps looking forward. When we look back, when we long for those days before we were Christians, when we weren't persecuted, when we weren't laughed at, when we weren't demoted, when we weren't harassed, if we're looking back at that, those days as better days, we give no pleasure to God. My soul has no pleasure. We are not of them who draw back. We are not like Lot's wife. So without that kind of faith that keeps looking forward, it's impossible to please God. See, Satan tries to destroy true faith. God tries to build up our faith. Read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, that's not fake faith, have made shipwreck. If Paul's talking about fake faith, he'd be glad that their fake faith ran aground. He'd be rejoicing that their fake was made shipwreck. But he's lamenting the faith of some, whom as I'm Minius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He laments the fact that Alexander and Hymenaeus, their true faith was shipwrecked. They were tested. They were tried by God to keep a good conscience, but they put away that good conscience concerning faith. In other words, we'll keep our faith, but we will deny the conscience. We will deny that sensitivity to right and wrong. We will just keep believing. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, they put away the good conscience. and their faith became shipwrecks. We read further in Timothy chapter 2, second book, about Hymenaeus and another, Philetus. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place. And guess what? Paul says they destroy the faith of some. They destroyed fake faith. Again, Paul would be rejoicing. Good. I want more Hymenaeuses and Philetuses to come up into the church and destroy fake faith. No, they were destroying true faith. They say the resurrection has already taken place. And they destroy the faith of some. Faith that is departed from through seduction of false doctrines cannot save. Faith that is cast off for the love of idleness cannot save, as in the case of the young widows. Faith that strays away through the love of wealth cannot save. Faith that looks back, faith that is drawn back, as Lot's wife was, cannot save. Faith that denies the conscience and sensitivity to Christ and his word cannot save. When Paul and Barnabas went about visiting the churches, we read in Acts 14, 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas were telling the churches, your faith will be tried. Only through much tribulation will you enter the kingdom of God. But they might have thought, wait a minute, haven't we already entered the kingdom of God? Yes. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter into the kingdom of God. Yes. But they said to him, only through much tribulation will you enter the kingdom of God. They were referring to that final coming of the kingdom, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter 1, 9, in our chapter of text, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Commentator, Pastor Matthew Henry said, our Christianity depends upon our faith. If this be wanting or lacking, there is nothing else that is spiritually good in us. All comes through faith. Now we know what wisdom is. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. We are not born wise. We have to learn wisdom. We gain knowledge from textbooks, from the Bible. We go to school. We go to college. We learn. We gain knowledge. But wisdom is the application of that knowledge. And the application of knowledge or wisdom is better than gold. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17 through 19. Wisdom is speaking, and wisdom says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. In other words, eternal riches. Not the gold or the silver that perishes, but durable riches and righteousness. My fruit of wisdom is better than gold, yea, better than fine gold, and my revenue than the choices of silver. We get wisdom and knowledge from the scriptures, but also from God's correction, chastisement. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 through 14, my son, says Solomon, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. What? Through the correction of the Lord, through his chastisement, we learn to apply to our lives the knowledge we learned in Sunday school, in Bible study, in church, through our own study of Scripture, through correction. Happy is the one that finds wisdom, the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of wisdom, gained through correction, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of the finest gold. And Solomon went on to say how much better it is to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than the choice of silver. And so these two hands offer gifts. The one hand, gold. Great hoards of gold. And the other, a faith tried by fire. If I were to offer this to the world would say, well, we don't have faith, so we don't want the fire. We just want the gold. Right? We just want the gold. That's what the unbeliever would say. But sadly, the believer would say, I want both. This is what is being taught today in many churches, the prosperity movement. I'm a Christian, I want both. Why can't I have both? I want the gold, and I want true faith, the faith that will get me to heaven. Well, three things. Number one, you don't need both. We don't need gold. We don't need wealth. We want it, but we don't need it. Two, if you get the gold, if you get the wealth, it's probably going to become a liability to your salvation. Remember what Jesus said? How difficult it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So it becomes a liability. So the Christian says, I want both. We're saying, well, I'm going to take more of a liability into my life by desiring wealth. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? Those that want to be rich shall pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And the third thing is, again, I repeat, the first thing is you don't need wealth. You don't need gold. Secondly, the gold will become a liability to you. It'll weigh you down. Begin to change the way you think. Thirdly, the more gold you have, the more testing, the more fire you will need. Why? Because the gold is a liability. The gold is a danger to your soul. And so, if you're going to go after the gold, know this, because of God's love, He's going to test you more. The fires will burn more. The testing, the trials, the temptations will become stronger in your life until you take your affection off the gold. Paul wrote to Timothy, the young pastor, and said, command them that are rich in this world, rich today, that they be not high-minded, but proud. That's what gold can make you. Can make you proud. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy. And what should these rich people do with their gold? That they do good with it. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that means generous and willing to share. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Faith that is tested, faith that is put on trial, faith that is bombarded by temptation and by trouble is more precious than gold. Neither their silver nor their gold, said God, shall be able to deliver them from the day of my wrath. And that's why it's so precious. Only faith can deliver our body, soul, and spirit to heaven. And it's only by fire that God purifies us. David says in Psalm 97:3, fire goes before God and consumes his foes on every side. Do you know that the envy we have in our hearts towards someone is an enemy of God? That pride is an enemy of God? That lust and greed, idolatry, embracing false teachings, covetousness, On and on it goes. These are all the enemies of righteousness. That's why Paul said, flee these things. Follow after righteousness. Flee them. Fire goes before God and consumes his foes on every side. That's why he tests our faith. And so, what is it you want? You want the gold and the faith tested by fire? Again, you don't need the gold. It's a liability to you. Unless you share it. Unless you communicate to others the need with it. All we really need to get to heaven is the faith tested by fire. And so James says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Faith that is tested is more precious than gold. And that's why James says, consider it pure joy. Some people consider it pure joy when they have the gold, when their ship comes in, when they win the lottery ticket. That's corruptible. That's all corruptible. But faith tested, that is purer than gold. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fires that test us, for the trials and the persecutions and the trouble, for the harassment, for the mockery, for the difficulties, for Satan's temptations. We thank you, Lord, for the hordes of hell that come against us. Because you tell us with the shield of faith, we can resist all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lord, we thank you. We do jump for joy. We do count it all joy when we fall into many, many troubles. Because our faith is being tested by fire. And as we endure and don't look back and don't have our faith shipwrecked, and if we don't cast it off, if we're not seduced by false teachers who promote fake faith, then we shall come forth as gold. Durable, eternal gold. Oh Lord, increase our faith. We know faith comes through hearing by your word. Lord, our faith must be tested by the trials. And we thank you. When we leave this place today, we will be tested. We will be tempted. Our faith is on trial. What is the outcome, Lord? If we look to you, the outcome will be victory. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And so we too can run the race and win the crown with such faith. Lord, you do not offer many people gold. And the ones you do, you also give a warning with. Be not high-minded. Do not trust in uncertain riches. Be ready to distribute to those in need. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, that in our poverty, we can rejoice because we have something greater, more precious, more valuable than gold that perishes. We have a faith that will endure forever. Thank you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold. And then we invite you downstairs for lunch. We'll stand and close with that hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold. You find the page here. Number 506 in our hymnal. 506, I'd Rather Have Jesus. If in your heart you're saying, I want both, it comes with a warning. comes with a warning. All you need is faith. He will provide all that you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that you need shall be added unto you. Right? Number 506.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his and have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest blue. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus than let him lead, than to be the king of a vast domain, and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything.
The author says, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame, because both of those come with warnings. When we are applauded, we have fame. What happens to many preachers when they become famous? They fall. They fall terribly. Just Jesus. That's all we need to get to heaven. Faith in him. Faith tested by fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Again, we go in Jesus' name. We go rejoicing that you have a furnace out of which you choose your faithful. We are chosen in the furnace of affliction. We thank you, Lord. May our faith withstand those tests, those fires, those temptations. If it's not tested, Lord, it's not worth anything. You show us not how strong we are, but usually how weak we are. How prone to failure we are. And how much we need you. We always need you, Lord, more and more of you in our life. We go now in Jesus' name. Amen.